Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. Do we need more church? Do we need more prayer? Do we need another revival? Absolutely. And the way things are going, we're going to talk about what's happening in California and with the church and possible imprisonment. I mean, if you have a home Bible study, you might go to jail. What is happening in America? We'll be talking more about freedom at the end of the program in our Devotion Life 101 today. You stay tuned for that. So they could go to jail in California. Well, that's out in California, Greg. It's not here. Yeah, trouble ain't trouble till it hits me, and it will be hitting you. And many people who argued against John MacArthur and others are now on John MacArthur's side today. Why is that? Because they're coming after Christians. And some of those things that were a big deal in the past are not a big deal today. Why? I'll say it again. They're coming after Christians, all Christians. Something to really be praying about, my friend. Yeah, we need to be in church more than ever, because when you can't go, then it's a problem, right? We need to pray more than ever. And I've continued to say, I can have a revival if the church doesn't have one, if the city doesn't have one, if the nation doesn't have one, I can have one, and so can you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah, we need a revival. And the way things are going in this country, how soon till they come after you? Something to pray about this Friday. Well, Joe Biden yesterday went after President Donald Trump again and again and again over his handling of the pandemic, calling Trump's downplaying of the pandemic criminal and his administration totally irresponsible. Go, Joe, do something. You've got to level with the American people, Joe said. Shoot from the shoulder. There's not been a time when they've been able to step up. The president should step down. The Democratic presidential nominee said to the applause from a CNN drive-in town hall meeting in Moosic, Pennsylvania, speaking about Trump's admission that he publicly played down the impact of the virus while aware of the severity of it. Biden declared he knew it and did nothing. This is close to criminal, and other such nonsense came from the lips of the Democratic presidential nominee. You know, I'm wondering if we're living in two political universes here. I mean, all the people I talk, maybe I'm just talking to all conservative Republicans out there. But they say less than 7 weeks before the election now, most Americans are deeply pessimistic about the direction of the country. Are you serious? And skeptical of President Donald Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Roughly 7 in 10 Americans think the nation is going in the wrong direction, according to a new poll. Oh, these polls from the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs. I have no idea who that is. It's an assessment that poses a real challenge, they say, for Donald Trump as he urges voters to stay the course and reward him with 4 more years. I mean, look at the alternative, people. I'm in the same boat that Rush Limbaugh was in this week, saying this country is toast if Biden gets in. Trump's argument to voters hinges in part on persuading Americans that the pandemic, which has killed nearly 200,000 people, and we've beat that horse to death, that this whole thing is receding. Yet just 39% of Americans approve of how Trump is handling the outbreak. You know, I think if the roles were reversed and Biden was in office, there'd be no one approving how Biden was handling the outbreak. Good grief. Hey, is ISIS still around? Oh, big time, they say. ISIS has taken over stunning islands where such names as Daniel Craig and Bono do their holidays, burned down luxury hotels, and imposed Sharia law. That's right, these militants have taken over many paradise islands in the Indian Ocean and just burning up everything. Luxury islands off the coast of Mozambique, where A-list celebrities spend their holidays frequently, have been overrun by these insurgents linked to the Islamic State, destroying everything. Luxury hotels, wildlife, homes have been torched and reduced to ashes in these attacks. One local said, they told us to run for our lives if we wanted to live. Everyone has left the island. Pictures? Incredible. Everything burned to a crisp. ISIS, that's the answer of so many in the world today. While still reeling from what's happening down in Lynchburg, Virginia, 1 week after Reuters published an explosive report on alleged sexual and financial relationship between Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife and a Miami man, responders were called to the Falwell's house in Bedford County, Virginia. According to records and 9/11 audio obtained by HuffPost, on the night of August 30th, Jerry Falwell Jr. was intoxicated and apparently injured. His wife, Becky Falwell, described a lot of blood here right now. Alcohol use lurked behind the series of scandals that led Jerry Falwell Jr. to resign as president of Liberty University. What a blow. He initially announced a leave of absence from Liberty, a private evangelical university founded by his dad, Jerry Falwell Sr. And well, it's just been a mess. I'll say again, every walk of life, every vocation, there's the bad guys and girls. Case in point here. Be sure your sin will find you out. So let's head on over to Moronville and the Moron Daily Gazette. A sympathetic administrator at the elite Vassar College agreed to put a pocket copy of the Constitution of the United States through a shredder after an undercover reporter, acting as a student, complained that its distribution on campus triggered her. Keyword, triggered her. The Constitution Day report by Project Veritas also shows a professor at Oberlin College, isn't that in Ohio, agreeing the founding document. Now get this, this is what's traveling from coast to coast. It's racist. It's discriminating. The Constitution causes people pain. What a bunch of morons. At Vassar, the undercover reporter, Kelly Grab, said that she had a panic attack in response to the distribution of the Constitution by the Cato Institute and been hiding in her room ever since. This is a real story. I mean, this could make Comedy Central. This is a real story. What is with these people? She says the college certainly wants to avoid causing students harm in the world today, and she asked the reporter what could be done to create an educational moment. The reporter suggests maybe the Constitution should be removed permanently. That is what you're dealing with today in America, folks. Good grief. Where's my... Oh, never mind. You know, all of this stuff just makes it hard to believe that real people are out there doing these things. So many around the country, cities, wanting to defund the police, get rid of the police. And it's been that way here for a while now. And now, where are the police? Crime is out of control. I mean, is that stupid? Of course it is. A leading scholar is presenting quantifiable evidence of a nationwide Minneapolis effect now. In the wake of the anti-police protest in response to the death of George Floyd, the rise in crime correlating with a reduction of proactive policing was dubbed the Ferguson effect by the Manhattan Institute's Heather McDonald after the 2004 death of Michael Brown. Remember that in Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri? Now, Paul Gassel, a professor of law at the University of Utah, is describing the recent phenomenon following the May 25th of Floyd in Minneapolis in a Wall Street Journal column titled "Homicide Stats Show Minneapolis Effect." Castle points out that before the anti-police protests began, Chicago had almost the same number of homicides as in 2019. On May the 31st, 18 people. One day, 18 people murdered in Chicago. The city's most violent day in 6 decades. 60 years. July was the city's most violent month in 28 years. As of September the 1st, murder is up 52%. The spike is seen in many other cities as well across America. I mean, hello? Think about that, people. Surely something to pray about. I mean, what part of getting rid of the police don't these people understand? More news right after this. How many people do you think listen to Christian radio that have what? Never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? My friend, this could be the greatest day of your life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've been listening. Maybe you've been hearing this in church, maybe from a family member or a friend. You need to do it. You need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. You need to step out there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Why, when you want to go that way? You got more time? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why not lean on him today? Just ask forgiveness of your sins. He'll do that. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life and start an adventure you cannot believe. Today might be your day. Oh, I pray so. Good picture on my Facebook page today. There is President Trump, Vice President Pence, heads bowed, praying someplace. And the caption, Heavenly Father, if one can put 1,000 enemies to flight and two can put 10,000, then let these two be anointed by you to stand against the wiles of the devil. Strengthen them as they follow you. Forge them in fire that they may emerge like hardened steel. Help them to make America great again. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for that, Richard. In business news, is he a modern-day Robin Hood? Yesterday's news out of Trenton had lots of rock and movie stars very nervous. They were speed-dialing their accountants, as we understand. New Jersey officials agreed to a millionaire's tax as part of the state's next budget. It's a budget plan that would feel at home in Sherwood Forest. New Jerseyans earning over $1 million will be taxed almost 11%. Currently, that rate is for those over making $5 million. That's up from 8.9%. Most of that revenue generated would be funneled into annual rebates of up to $500 for families making less than $150,000. Take from the rich, give to the poor. We heard this before. The governor, Phil Murphy, vowed to raise taxes on the wealthy when he took office 3 years ago, but ran headlong into opposition, including within his own Democratic Party. What changed? Well, a little thing called COVID-19. Over 16,000 New Jerseyans have died from the virus. More than 1.5 million have filed for unemployment since Murphy implemented a lockdown. Now, New Jersey leaders are saying middle-class residents, they've suffered so much from this pandemic, it's only fair to ask the wealthy to chip in and help out a bit. COVID-19 is crippling many state budgets, high unemployment, diminishing tax revenues, battered tourism. Oil markets could snatch $200 billion from state purses by June of next year, per the Urban Institute. New Jersey has tried to gin up some cash by taxing financial transactions, to which the New York Stock Exchange said, we leave the party the second that guy shows up. So what's the answer? Robin Hood? Or where do we move to now? Well, yesterday we heard from John MacArthur. Today, Chi Ong, the pastor of the Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, California. He says he may be doing his preaching from jail soon. The city prosecutor threatened to press criminal charges against the pastor and the congregation of Harvest Rock Church. That's right, criminal charges, people. Todd Starnes said in his book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. He said, I imagine such a circumstance would happen under the rule of Democrats. Gee, Todd, it looks like you're right. Harvest Rock has been holding indoor worship services in violation of Governor Newsom's China virus orders. The congregation was also observed not wearing masks and not complying with social distancing. Those bad, bad people. All of these things are violations of the law, Prosecutor Michael Dowd wrote in a threatening letter to that church. The governor also says churches may not hold indoor services and Christians may not sing songs or recite the Lord's Prayer. And get this, even home Bible studies are covered under this new order. Isn't that hard to believe? Your compliance with these orders is not discretionary. It is mandatory, they write. Each day in violation is a separate violation and carries with it a potential punishment of up to 1 year in jail and a fine, large fine, for each violation. The commies aren't coming. The commies are here. They're running states and cities and, well, you know. Who said that? Well, those pro athletes bent their knees, continue to do so, to forces bent on destroying America Are you done with these guys yet? I keep saying it, we're losing our collective mind in America. And to all of those overpaid kneelers in pro sports, maybe you need to see this picture of a woman at the casket of her dead military husband. My, oh my, what in the world is going on? What part of this did we miss? How many times you told, don't fight the police, don't resist, don't grab the officer's gun, don't run, don't point a weapon at a policeman? This will get you shot. Come on, man, think. Back to losing our collective minds? When leaders in this country pass a law to legally kill a baby on the day it's to be born, and that is celebrated somehow, we are in the midst of pure evil in this country. If in the USA we have separation of church and state, how does the state have the power to close the church? And wow, this one arrested my thinking. Would you like you, if you met you? Freedom in America? Where's my Bible? Life 101, next. Greg Patton Ministries saying thank you for the privilege of ministering in your church, sharing the Word of God and challenging Christians with the Word today. So many as of late in the Tri-City area of Tennessee, grateful to each one of you who have allowed us to come for a day or a week and share Bible with your church. God has blessed in a mighty way. Grateful to your church and your pastor. So many years traveling America sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. How about you? You're listening to the program today. Get in touch, gregpatton.com. Just send me an email. You can go through gregpatton.com or helloworldradio@gmail.com. With what's happening in the church, are we losing our freedoms in America? Duh. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you're going to be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You know, the Scripture is about freedom from Mosaic law. The law is described elsewhere as being something that helped to identify sin and how to live a life honorable to God. Too many people, religious leaders, have used the law as a tool of control. They used it for power, position, separation. They used and abused the law as control and power in the name of God. Sounds good. Paul declares that because Jesus Christ, Christians have freedom from the law. He tells the churches here in Galatia that they are called by God through Jesus to be free men and women. The people of Paul's day suffered persecution and hardship, which increases as they became Christians. The community made it tough to live a new faith. They were unwelcome in the Jewish community unless they adhered to the law, and this meant big changes for the Gentile men. It had to be hard to celebrate the freedom that Paul encourages because the culture didn't understand them and the Jews were angered by them simply because of the different rules they had. Very confusing at the time. We talked earlier about the author of confusion. They had already broken from their old traditions. They were trying to figure out the ins and the outs of this new faith. Been there, done that. They had lots of questions and pressures to give in to, and it appears in Scripture that one of the most logical was that you needed somehow to become a Jew to become a Christian. The pressure was live under the law as a first concern. Paul said that's not true. Paul thought that the law was being required as a means to cover sin, a tool provided by God to offer a substitute to pay for sin against God. But the people of the day still had the problem of sin to deal with. The covering, the paying a price became something of a factor to put into your budget. Well, I accept I'm going to sin this much this year, so I need this number and type of animals to pay off that debt. The people's lives were not changed by fines and moved on. Oh, no. Today we do the same. We see the removal of the law at a discount on getting right with God. We pray for forgiveness and then go out and commit those same sins time and time again. Hindsight is so good. We can look at the United States history and find the investment made by people so long ago was well worth it, right? Great to be free in America. It's a fantastic thing that I can pretty much do what I want to do and say pretty much what I want to say. The first sentence in the Declaration of Independence is a whopper. It is long, and I imagine that it would make an English teacher go crazy. It sets the stage for the rest of the document, basically saying when things are bad enough, people have to take action and force a separation. The second sentence of the Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, unchangeable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we still enjoy the freedom that the Declaration of Independence calls for on behalf of the colonies and future citizens. There it is, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. This is my kind of place. How about you? I'm so happy that God put me here. I mean, in the United States of America, here in Indiana, and being a pastor of a church here for 32 years, being on the radio, there are lots of less comfortable places in this world where there is little or no freedom, places where life and liberty and pursuit of happiness are a pipe dream for so many. For some on this planet, the biggest goal is to have life, and there's little hope of much else, and that's sad. But we have a few problems here in America, don't we? Hey, I talk about it every day. Lots of rules in this country. Traffic laws, do you obey them? Home mortgages, I gotta pay it. Traffic lights, speed limits, those income taxes, building codes. I hate the lines at the grocery store. Constantly needing money for this, that, and the other. I could go on and on. It seems to be hard work to pursue a life of happiness when we have so many rules, when the economy is so unstable, when things cost so much. Seems to me that with freedom comes a lot of other things which steal away our freedom. My friend, the battle over spiritual freedom continues today. We all struggle over rights and wrongs. We decide over loving ourselves, over loving our neighbor, and we probably don't win as many battles as we could. In fact, I fear we don't struggle or battle at all sometimes. We just choose self and ignore others and let sin and personal desires guide our choices. God offers us help today we need. It's not always as easy to find as we want. It takes real effort to control and listen to the Holy Spirit. It takes even more to follow His direction today. To God be the glory. I pray you're doing it. And it's a thought this time of year as I was standing out there in the garden. God didn't create anything without a purpose, but I think mosquitoes come very close. Oh, what do you think? Noah, why didn't you swat those things?
Okay, one more. Two old guys, two seniors playing tennis. At one point, the ball rolls into the bushes, and one of the guys goes to get it, confronted by a frog, claiming to be a beautiful princess who's been turned into a frog. If the player just kisses her, the frog assures him she will revert to her natural princess state and marry him and live happily ever after, both of them. The player pockets the frog and starts playing the game, and after a bit, "Sir, did you forget about me down here? I'm a beautiful princess turned into a frog. Kiss me," so forth. And the old man says, "Dear Lady Frog, I will be completely honest with you. I've reached the point in my life at my age which I would rather have a talking frog than a new wife." Why is it I can identify with that? This is Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday absolutely every day, 24/7. Amen. Hello, world. Greg Patton, 6 days a week. Sure. GregPatton.com and Greg Patton, period. PATTEN for Facebook. I want you to be my friend. God bless. Have a great day and a great weekend. Monday, right here. Thank you.